The foot is on Dreamland.
It's never been bigger.
Oh, big atmosphere.
More massive moments.
What about that?
Every massive match.
The energy, the electricity is building.
Massive.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, good afternoon. Welcome to Triple M Rocking Footy for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water on what is one of the great occasions on the calendar. It is Big Free 7 today. The slides at the MCG, the game will be at the SCG, and we've got some famous faces who are donating their time to what has become one of the great causes when Neil Danaher reaches out and wants you to be involved. It's as big an honour as you can get, and I'm surrounded by all the familiar faces that dominate Triple M football. Next to me, welcome Daisy Thomas. I love this day, Daisy.
Yes, it is an absolute ripper. One that's become a real integral part of the footy calendar, hasn't it? Been lucky enough to be a part of Maddie's match the last couple of years, and this one right up there doing some great things, raising some good money. And today we get to broadcast, of course, Triple M's very own Fat Brownless going down the slide.
And we'll catch up with that man very, very shortly. That'll be a lot of fun. Neil Danaher will talk about a lot. Nathan Buckley's last game as coach. It's a huge afternoon. The King is here, Wayne Carey. Welcome, Doug.
Yeah, g'day, gentlemen, listeners. Good to be here, and I agree with everything Daisy just said. Great day, Neil Danaher. He'll topple over 50 million today. That is incredible. And you know as well as I do, Das, when this all started, I remember Lewis Martin telling us, I think he thought, if I can raise $250,000. That's the figure I think he first had in his mind. He's nearly raised $50 million.
My understanding is, Damien Barrett, as I say hello to you, they're hoping to sell 500,000 beanies this year. So if you haven't done so already, the Big Free 7 beanie, yeah. You see them out everywhere on the streets today. It's just sensational. It's a badge of honour to wear one. I always say that, Damo, and it is. So that alone will raise close to $10 million
today. That's 500 on this slide event.
Particular this particular Big Free 7.
Yeah, well,
is what they were hoping for
they
today.
They do seem to be everywhere this year, don't they? We've got the batting order too, Das, and our man Bill Brownless is coming in at number 8. So there are going to be, unfortunately for those two people beneath him, Abby Holmes and Gillon McLaughlin.
Not a lot of water.
Not a lot of water left.
And we like to just assess things. So we'll get Daisy and Duck to cast their eye over costume. Nick Riewoldt set a benchmark that is almost never going to be passed, I would have thought. How's their routine and how's their execution? So we'll cover that in fine style. Now, JB, ripping game last night. Mm. A little bit raspy in the voice, Jim. So I'm going to give you a bit of a lighter load this afternoon.
I appreciate that, Duke. And I have great interest in Fat. My understanding is his costume shit. and he should be last because the water displacement, poor Abby Holmes.
Yeah, straight after him.
Beautiful girl, don't want to follow. Well, A, because there's not a lot of water left, and B, the quality of the water won't be good either.
And so, then Gil after him as well.
Well, Gil, he's big enough and ugly enough to fight for himself, but Abby should be moved away from Fat.
Yeah.
Well, I think he might be listening in, JB, the man we speak about, the great Bill Brownless. Bill, we need some entertainment from you this afternoon, please. What have you got in store for us?
Oh, g'day, Duke, and g'day, boys. Great to be with you. I tell you what, it's eerie. There's no one here at the MCG. They're just us, the sliders. And the slide's a lot longer and a lot, what do you call it, when it goes down, like, deeper and quicker. So I reckon if I get a bit of pace up, I might land on the MCG here.
You mean it's steeper, Fat? Is that the word you're looking for?
That's the word I was looking for. Hello, Jim. Lovely to hear your voice.
Deeper and longer, he described
it. Deeper and longer. Both words that don't really work for me. Now, Fat, my understanding is that you've gone for a real underwhelming costume. Is this true, or have you had a late change?
No. I'm underwhelming. You always underwhelm and then overperform, which I don't think that's the term either. But anyway, no. Well, I've gone easy and less is best. So I've got some short little shorts on, Jim, and then something that I think Neil will like because it's got something to do with our old school. So Bill, I think it's in honour of Neil.
Oh, Bill, I heard there's nothing on you from the waist down, basically.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, there's something there, Duff.
Where's he at?
I've also heard, Bill, you might have actually attempted to commercialise your role and involvement in this today, somehow, for yourself. There might be a sponsor.
We've got personal sponsors out there, as you all know, and maybe it might be CUB, might have to just come good, or someone like that. And also, of course, I don't know, no one's talking about this and it's a bit awkward, but surely there's an envelope. Surely there's an envelope when you're finished today. And I'm not leaving until Neil gives me the envelope with some cash in it.
Can I ask what sort of nick you're in, Bill? You just called Damien Barrett Dahl. Did you have a couple last night, Bill?
How are you?
Well, it was the long weekend, and we had the Ferreters at the Cremorne Hotel last night. They're called the Ferreters. They're an Irish band, and oh, did they kick on? And I had to keep the doors open and just make sure the numbers were okay. So, fair to say, we had a couple.
Fair enough. I think you've summed that up pretty well, Dar. So I think he is a little bit under the weather.
You can't ask. This is the ultimate charity, by the way. $50 million, as Duck just said, about to be ticked over. One of the most extraordinary fundraising achievements in recent times. And you're asking for Neil Danaher to hand you an envelope with some cash in it.
I haven't asked. I just think it's part of the deal. You know, when you do a little fundraiser and you go up and you go to the bloke, righto, mate, I'm leaving now. I've got to go now. And you haven't received the envelope yet. And you go, no, mate, I'm really going now. I've got to go, you know.
Now, Fat, there's many others going down the slide. Who should we be looking out for? Anyone taking your eye or a good costume? Well, something?
Yeah, Jeffrey Farmer's in an interesting one with the Melbourne Footy Club. He's looking good. Not sure what Russell Howcroft is, and I'm not sure what he's wearing. But Gil's the one, of course, and it's obviously something to do with someone that might have performed here. And I think Gil paid him $500,000. And I think Gil was even quoted as saying that was $499,000 too much.
I had the mustard jacket in mind for the chief of the AFL.
I thought had a late chance.
Anyone who's rocked up to the Warrnambool races and thought a mustard jacket and matching hat was appropriate, Bill. But, mate, we're looking forward to watching you go down the slide. Good luck, mate. We'll check in with you a bit later on.
Yeah, I know. I know your support's genuine too. Thank you, boys. Bye.
Bill Brownless, one of the sliders today. Big Freeze 7. If you haven't got behind it already, get on board Big Freeze 7. Get your beanie. We had a lot of fun, Daisy, this afternoon.
Mate, what is Billy doing? No, just in general.
All over the place.
Just butchered the English language again straight off the top. I look forward to seeing how he goes down, because if he is a bit dusty, going into that water could be a genuine proper ruffle.
We talked about it, Duke, during the week on the rush hour. I have a great hope out of today for Fat. And that is that he goes in, that the water is freezing cold, like literally freezing cold. And I said to him, go in, go under, stay under a little longer than everyone else, and hopefully the really cold water will reset your brain. No, I'm being serious. Freeze it and maybe just realign it so that when it comes out, it's in better nick than when it went in. I hope that happens.
That's a possibility this afternoon. Now, this is the footy preview for Ream Hot Water. Ask your plumber to install the Ream Steady, Hot and Strong. We're going to get Alan Richardson, who's now working at the Melbourne Footy Club, and their fantastic start to the year. Forgetting aside, it's going to be a great game, Melbourne taking on Collingwood. Nathan Buckley's last game. We'll get into that a little bit later on. Graham Wright to join us, the man who was charged with the football administration at the Collingwood Football Club, and obviously Wright hand in hand with Nathan Buckley's decision. We'll catch up with Wrighty a little bit later on, and the Big Freeze sliders will be underway as the afternoon unfolds. So, ribbing day, Queen's birthday, lots to look forward to today. And can't wait. What did you make, just briefly, Duck? We'll get to this a bit later on. Bucks's timing, Bucks's decision, someone that you played a lot of footy against. How did you feel that rolled out?
Yeah, he handled himself sensationally, as you would expect. Went out with his head held high. In terms of, he's one of the best players that I ever played against. We always targeted him when we played Collingwood. He was nearly a North Melbourne player, Duck. So there was always that little bit of something angst in the back of our minds. Yeah, a little bit of angst. Always got brought up before we played. So there was always that little bit of friction.
And you guys didn't ever let that go, did you?
Dennis wouldn't let us let it go. We wanted to let it go, and Dennis would bring it up before every time we played Collingwood. But you couldn't have anything but respect for him as a player. I think for the first, and this is from afar, but I spent a year at Collingwood when Bucks was finishing up, so when obviously Mick Malthouse was coach. But, excuse me, but as a coach, I think it took him a good 5 years to obviously get a grasp on having a relationship with the players. And I reckon the last 3 years, take this year out of it, his last 3 years, he's never coached better. He's never been. So right now, he sits outside of a job and he's never been a better coach than he is right now. But in terms of what he's done for the game and what he's done for Collingwood, can't be questioned. He's been an absolute champion.
Right to the last game he played against North Melbourne, at least Glenn Archer, at least, but my feeling is there were others. He used to say to him, give us our 20 grand back. And Bucks swears that no 20 grand was ever handed over, but all the boys used to just nibble at him when he was taking a shot at goal.
The big,
and he couldn't help biting on it, Bucks. Even though he knew it was an old story, it was one of those things that he just couldn't help having a nip back at.
Well, I tell you, talking about nipping and biting, well, that's how the story goes. When Dennis Pagan walked into the room to have a chat with him with Smokey Dawson and a couple and Greg Miller, Bucks was lying on the bed eating an apple.
This is a legendary story. I have heard this before.
And chewing on an apple and didn't get up.
So this is the year he's at the Brisbane Bears?
No. This is when he's left the Bears and deciding where he's going. North thought they had him.
So 1993.
North thought they had him signed, sealed and delivered, and the brown paper bag everyone talks about. So the coach, Pago, and a few heavy hitters at North go to see him in a hotel room, and he laid on the bed eating an apple when they walked in, and he didn't get up to shake their hand. And Dennis used to say he was lying on the bed like Marilyn Monroe. So you had these young, every year these young kids would come into the club and Pago would tell the story. And I'm thinking, I've watched a lot of Marilyn Monroe. I never saw her lying on the bed eating an apple. But he used that analogy and he said he didn't want to play with you guys. So that was brought up before.
I wonder how much JB was a little bit of mayo to try and inspire the groups around potential areas.
In terms of giving 20 grand back, I was there when you were the assistant coaching sort of goal kicking coach.
Yes, they
were. Highly paid. So was your role head of bicep curls? Because the only time I saw you was in the gym or kicking leftward bananas with Taz in the pocket.
Yes. Well, if you want to really sort of nail it down, who won the BNF that year? I'll tell you who. Travis Cloak, only BNF he ever won. And I was in charge of the forward.
There you go.
The day that was announced. 20 grand back. That's handing 70 or 80 back.
It was actually 120.
the day that was announced, Duck, Mick Malthouse, who was coach, wasn't aware of the appointment.
No, he was aware. I went and sat at his house and had breakfast.
I think it was Eddie Maguire who just got it through.
It was actually Mick and I. And to be honest, at the end of that year, I was required for 10 hours a week, Darce.
That was the contract, was
just
it?
Just too busy.
Couldn't squeeze the 10 hours in for 120.
So at the end of the year, I'll never forget it. I walked in. By the way, I walked in. They had my own. I had my office, my computer. That computer never got turned on. I'm a hands-on man, JB. I was out there just doing body work and marking and kicking and a few weights, just teaching them the right technique.
A few weights.
First Anzac Day I ever was ever asked the privilege of being asked to work on, back in the 9 footy days. I remember got there and I'm the underling. Of course, the big boys are running the show, so I was just do as I told. And they said, righto, you're actually going to do a recorded piece right out in the centre of the ground before Anzac Day, but well before. So I'm like, all right, no worries. And so I'm standing at the middle on my own and Collingwood came out to do some pre-match warm-up. So not, they haven't run through the banner. This is well before that. Anyway, so I'm standing in the middle waiting to do this 10-second thing. And all I hear from behind is a pretty familiar voice going, what the hell are you doing out here? I turn around and there's Duck, Collingwood gear, head to toe. I said, what are you doing here? That's even more important.
Talking about Ed, then at the end of that year, Daisy, because it could have easily gone on, but what happened was I walked into the office and I just said, I got on the front foot. I said, listen, this isn't quite. And within a split second, they said, you know what, we're on the same page. we're just not aligning, not enough time. And, I think you probably need a bit more out of, whoever takes on this role.
Was a
mutual agreement.
It was a bit of an arms race at that stage, wasn't it? To see if you get hold of a name like the King Wayne Carey and drag him back, Daisy. Yeah. Did you remember him having significant impact on your career at that stage or not?
I didn't spend a lot of time with it, but I honestly do remember him being in the gym a lot longer than I was ever in there. Anytime I would walk past here in there, just the tight little singlet on, just getting it done, then wander in the office for 5 or 10 and then wander straight back out. So you certainly got your money's worth out of the gym at least.
And we're building up to Big Free 7 at the SCG. The Sliders are going to be rolling at the MCG. Shane Crawford, Daisy Pearce, Jeff Farmer, Sarah Jones from Fox Footy, little Ray Chamberlain, Shani Norder, who does a great job, Russell Howcroft, Billy Brownless, Abby Holmes, and Gil McLaughlin going down last. That's the batting order this afternoon. JB?
Can't wait for that. We're going to love all of that. Liam Fly and Ryan to Josh Kennedy. 11 metres, maybe.
I'm not sure it was 11.
Might have even come back to being 8.5. And we saw, where was it, the SCG or Adelaide Oval earlier in the year where one went about 20 metres and wasn't paid the other way? It takes a brave umpire late in the game. In interstate territory days, well, to turn that over.
And that was the Jeremy Cameron one.
That's right.
Yes, yeah, called play.
Was that Adelaide Oval?
No, that was SCG.
SCG. Yes, so I don't reckon it was the distance, but you have to be a very brave umpire at that stage in Perth to overturn
that. We focus on that because that's invariably the last goal that wins the game. But I reckon there were another six or seven holding the ball decisions that were not paid last night. And I sat there and just watched very, very closely. And they did. They put the whistle away late. And if they hadn't have paid that, then there would have been an uproar the other way. So, you know what? I'm glad it let go. And we do tend to just focus on that last decision. They've made a lot of mistakes, just like the players.
Absolutely.
Made a lot of mistakes over the night. So let's not focus on it.
How clean was the pickup too by Liam Ryan?
He just got it in his fingertips. Like literally, I thought he's nearly overrun this. And then it just stuck, didn't it? Just
graceful. And what about the finish from Josh Kennedy well? And that is that margin for error in it, where you're at that distance, Doug, where if you strike the Sharon slightly a millimetre the other way, and you can look like a complete fool in that situation.
And I thought he had hit it. When he first hit it, I thought, oh, he's hit this tight. I thought he's hit it a bit skinny.
Yeah.
And it just held its line. Mm. Yeah. It held its line for long enough, and geez, it was good.
The scenes as it went through, though, of that Perth crowd, thousands, 50, there were 000. Tens of thousands there. Unbelievable, considering we're sitting in Victoria in a lockdown watching along at home.
You know what, Dave? That is such a relevant point. So many people have said to me since, and it's only happened last night, but they said, imagine going to the footy like that.
Yeah.
As Victorians, we can't think about doing that, can we? But that crowd was pulsating.
Yeah.
And I said afterwards, Duke, I hope... Because JK's a beauty. Everyone who knows him loves him. He's one of the great footy blokes. I hope a still photographer got a shot of him with the big cobra and that crowd behind. That'll sit over his bar for the rest of his life.
He's a ripper, isn't he, Dave? He's understated. He's humble. But even he had to sit back and give that everything that it deserved.
And the beauty of it, when you look closely at the crowd, he's gone the double cobra. Everyone else is watching where the ball's going first. So as the goal kicker, you know before anyone else. And then just all as one, they rise behind him. A great shot, great vision.
They've got their season back on track, haven't they, with the win against Carlton the previous week, which came against the odds, given they had six of their best 8 or 9 out, lost Shepherd after it started, and then last night kicking the last four of the goals of that game to really, I think, propel them into the second half. It was a worry until then.
Kelly, Shuey and McGovern are all coming back.
Yep.
So and they've got a really good look at Optus Stadium, haven't they, in the back half of the year from a scheduling point of view.
They might get the ultimate look at Optus Stadium if the world stays the way.
Don't raise that with Duck.
They haven't peaked at all yet this year. So we have not seen the best. They haven't had their best side all year on the park at any one time. And they're going to get a look at that, obviously, after, as you said, after the bye.
Well, the other thing, Duke, we got is a very sage reminder of how important Elliot Yeo is to that team. He's had a year out. And so we just forget, because we don't see him.
He was enormous. He was enormous. That last quarter in particular. I mean, he's clearance work. And not only his clearance work, his pressure. He's one of the great tacklers of the competition. And I loved, because I know you guys were told, what was it, 80% he was going to play of each quarter.
That's what he told us.
Well, as soon as I saw the start of last quarter and the impact he was having, I just sat there with a smirk. I went, there is no way he is playing 80% of this last quarter.
Not taking that man off.
You are not taking him off at all.
They're an extraordinary footy club, the West Coast Eagles. They have moments in years where you think, geez, they're not as good as maybe we thought. Their injuries will take their toll. Then they just win enough games. You look at Adam Simpson's record since he's been there. I think the first year they finished ninth, and since then it's been finals, winning finals.
Grand final before
grand
they
final.
Made the one, another one and won it.
And they will be very, very hard to beat again.
And they keep finding these young players. Young Tyson Edwards, Tyson Edwards, young fella. He was absolutely brilliant. Looks clean, Das. Just like his dad. Just uses it really well.
Player, and Foley, smart footballer. Foley, in the back half, he was very composed.
They're the interesting ones, aren't they? You look at your dad, 321 game superstar. He has a passageway to the Adelaide Crows.
Yeah,
they obviously choose to overlook that.
Is there a reason why? Is that because of Tyson's relationship with the Crows?
It was a bit of it all, Duck. It was all putting together. It was the camp that his brother was also on when he was a listed player at the Crows. It was a bit of everything, but there was not one thing that stood out. But in the end, he just wanted to get away from the Crows, and I think the club knew that as well.
Yep. Okay.
So it's interesting, isn't it? Because when you get that sort of, as your young bloke might be a great example, but your club has been incredibly good at it, Duke, and that is getting, really nurturing those young blokes of the famous players at the club, and they've been huge for the Western Bulldogs. Why wouldn't you do everything you could as the Adelaide Crows to make sure that young bloke's on your list?
Interesting story, isn't it? Because as Duck said, he looks like a 200-game player every day of the week. Ripping story over there in the West Coast. We've got a huge afternoon. Nathan Buckley's final game as coach. We've got the slide coming down. Huge afternoon for the Danaher family. Big 3-7. A man who knows all about sitting in the chair. He's actually on the Melbourne bus. And I speak of Alan Richardson, who's now plying his trade at the Melbourne Football Club. What a start to the year they've had. Richo, appreciate you joining us. And I understand you're sitting on the bus as we speak.
Yeah, g'day, Das. Good to be here. No, I've just got off the bus. She's a little bit noisy on there. So now we've just pulled in underneath the ground and the guys are walking through getting ready for the game.
Can I ask you first up, Richo? It's a high-pressure job. You know it well. You've been in the industry all of your life. You're coaching as a team against Nathan Buckley. What are your thoughts on him finishing up today?
I wish he had waited one more week. That's what I'm thinking. Given you'd expect there'd be a fair emotional uplift. I mean, their footy in the last little period, their last month, has been pretty positive anyway. Close losses to good teams, and of course the victory last week. But you would imagine that Collingwood want, the boys would want to do the right thing and send Bucks off with a really strong performance and look to beat a team that's on top of the ladder. That's the way you'd imagine it. It'd be they'd be working, and so we understand what we're up against. But he's been an amazing person for the Collingwood Footy Club for many, many years. You know, we're really looking forward to being part of the day, not only because of the big throws, but also because of Bucks.
Alan, just back to the specifics of today's game. I know there's a conditioning component to every club with what it went through last year and even already parts of this season. But the specifics of today, can you just take us through how it looks for you and everyone else involved with your club today in playing this game at the SCG?
You mean from a COVID perspective?
Yeah, COVID. Yeah, just flying in, playing at the SCG. What do you have to do between even just getting off the plane to the game starting?
Yeah, up until we got to the motel in town, it was basically Melbourne rules. And as we know, things have loosened a little bit back home, so that's been good. But no, right now we're like Sydney people, given that we've all been tested the last couple of days, and both Collingwood and Melbourne would have all come back negative. So the masks are off, thank goodness. We, as soon as the game's done, though, Domo, we're straight back on the plane heading home. That's probably the biggest shift. It's really fly in, fly out as much as possible. No hanging around. I imagine that they're the deals that the AFL have done with the state governments to make sure the games can continue.
Richo, just from a Melbourne point of view on Bucks, how much he's spoken about it during the week? You obviously have to acknowledge it, but is it just about trying to come out, quell the start and then move on with it, or does it get to another level of respect because of the significance of the day?
No, we certainly acknowledge that the opposition that we're going to be up against have another layer of cause. They, everyone wants to do well anyway. Obviously you want to there's 4 points up for grabs. You know, we're in a different situation to the Pies. You know, they've come out and said they're on a rebuild or a refocus. I can't remember the terminology they've used in recent weeks, but you know, that's big, exciting opportunities for young players that are now trying to play well in front of Harvey initially, and then or Bucks today, and then Harvey, and then potentially a coach that they don't know yet. So there's all those things thrown into the mix, but clearly for us, it's about this is our last game before the bye. It's a really big day for our footy club. It has been for a long time because of what Neil Danaher means to our people and to our club, and of course the cause that he represents now. So it's a big day for both clubs.
Richo, Mark Williams getting too much credit?
Well, he's doing a really good job, but it's never one person. And we're only halfway through a season. We're really happy with the way that the season has gone to now. We've got a lot of work to do before we get what we're after. But, there's a lot of good people doing a lot of good things, and we're up the Chocos with us, but we're equally pleased with people like Troy Chaplin and Greg Stafford and Adam Uzay and of course the coach is he's also doing an enormous job. So there's a lot of people doing a lot of things right, and our players have really matured. The players that have a lot of talent have got into the right sort of demographic in terms of age and games played, that they should be more consistent with their performance, and that's that's the biggest issue for us.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because it looked to me like the credit was sitting pretty comfortably on him, Richo.
Yeah, no, Jocko, he's not going to balk at those sort of accolades. but no, he's a great man. We're rapt to have him with us, and you know, his energy and his enthusiasm is infectious, and it's having an influence. But as I said earlier, there's a lot of people doing a lot of good things.
Just to finish on that, you must smirk though whenever a club's doing well, it's never the senior coach. Whenever you're losing, Richo, as you well know, it's always the senior coach. I want to ask you. You mentioned the maturity about your leaders now. So you've got a week. You're playing Collingwood. We know where they sit. They've got a few out, and where yes, they've been competitive. Who drives that? What's Maxi Gawn like now as a leader of that footy club?
He's a bloody impressive person. One, he's I mean, my take on Max from afar was that he was an outstanding player that was really consistent with his performance. So from a leadership point of view, he set a really good example. Viney was the captain, you know, when I wasn't here. But he's got a really good balance of care and drive. I'm not sure what you were like. I didn't – obviously, you were a very successful captain. But I reckon the really good ones that end up having team success, Hodge jumps to mind. They have that balance of being able to pull people into line, but more often than not, they can put their arm around a young bloke and get him back on track. And Max is he's got a terrific balance there. And as I said, when I from afar, I probably thought he was a little bit jovial, but that's unfair. He can play that when he needs to, but generally he's as I said, I keep saying the word balanced. He's got real good balance to his leadership.
Hearing the voice of Alan Richardson, good enough to join us fresh off the bus, arriving at the SCG for the Queen's birthday game against the Magpies, Big 3-7. Richo, having sat in the senior chair before, and we're obviously talking about Nathan Buckley's final game, to me it just seems that the level and the layers of scrutiny senior coaches are under these days is disturbing to me at one level. And we've seen in recent times, Reece Shaw exit with some challenges around the pressure, and Dean, you can go through the list. I think Alistair Clarkson rolled off a list of his concerns about where it's at now. You've had some time. You're back in the game that you love, Richo. Is it an issue? Do we need to have a little bit more care around how much we load the gun up on senior coaches?
Oh, it definitely does. Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether it's ever going to stop, because it's interesting. It sells papers, or it gets hits. It makes noise. And there's a little bit of it comes with the territory. And what I would say to us is it's very individual. For me, in my situation, I sort of, because I'd been in it for a fair while, I knew it was coming when it was that you weren't winning enough and you'd been there for a while. You were going to be in a bit of strife. It's the impact it has on those around you that can be a real challenge. And I imagine, look, I don't want to speak for Bucks, but he's sort of said as much, I reckon, in ways that, you know, it's time for someone else to have a go. He's been there for a while, and I get the sense that he's looking forward to spending some time with his boys, and there's a bit of pressure taken off the whole family situation. So I reckon that's a real challenge for the coaches. I think Pikey probably alluded to the same sort of thing, didn't he?
Mm. Yep, his final words were prophetic on the way out, weren't they, that we need to take a bit more care. Rich, I appreciate your time today. It's a huge afternoon in every sense. We look forward to watching the game unfold. And the Big 3-7, always a wonderful occasion. Thanks, Rich.
Good on you, guys.
That was Alan Richardson.
We'll chat after we come back. The senior coaches, Darce, under more pressure than people making key decisions on what's going on in the world at the moment, and they're not under the same scrutiny as senior coaches
Worth
are.
Worth further debate, Duck. I'm very, very keen to hear your thoughts on that. We are going to take a break. Graham Wright, the general manager of football at the Magpies. We've got James Brayshaw. Daisy's in good form. He looks fresh, ready to go. Damien Barrett with all the latest news. The King Wayne Carey building up to what is a huge afternoon. Neil Danaher and the family for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M Rocks Footy.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
People all around us getting excited.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Duck, just before we get to Damo's news, we had Alan Richardson on before, and you're about to make a point before we got to the break. Your thoughts the coaches?
We have Ross Lyon on a Sunday and had a good chat to him, and it is. He brought up a good point. I mean, he sat in the chair not all that long ago, and he said the pressure that they're under and the scrutiny that you cop. And then we sit here in Victoria in particular, and we sit back and the decisions are made on our behalf by people, and the scrutiny that they receive is nothing like a coach. And I've said this, I've been saying this for a number of years now. Nathan Buckley has been under more scrutiny than any person, I think, in the history of this country in terms of the pressure that he has copped from being the coach and an ex-champion of that Collingwood Footy Club. He really had, like, I don't think anyone has ever received that. And the reason why I say that is because obviously social media and the world we now live in. Maybe there would have been coaches under that sort of pressure many years ago, but not to the degree that this man has been under, I don't think.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more, Duck. And disgracefully now we've got photos of him, it seems, being taken in Melbourne. That was something that happened in Sydney. That's a bit of an alarming thing to me that the paparazzi's arrived here in Melbourne. People on the outside don't say, oh, you get paid your $700,000 or $800,000. To me, that is completely beside the point. It is.
It's a sport, Duck. We're talking about other decision makers. It's our livelihoods. It's all sorts of things. And yet, because he coaches a football team, he cops that sort of scrutiny.
How do you put the genie back in the bottle on that
one,
JB?
Well, you can't, I don't think. That's the problem. We've got, I mean, the old saying about how many accredited journalists cover footy as against federal politics, I think was like 10 to 1. It used to be purple. It might even be beyond that now.
That number got lost because they were talking about sound technicians and whatnot in that overall number. But there would be more journalists covering footy than permanently covering federal politics, absolutely.
And so we've all, not only have we got that, but it used to be that the footy show was the only footy show of the week. Now there are probably 20 on different platforms. And of all those platforms, every person on those shows is after a soundbite. So that soundbite is, well, Bucks has got to go, or, Ratton's got it, whoever it is. And so that then gets put onto Instagrams and then it gets put onto Twitter. And so suddenly, you know, it becomes a blood sport demo is the bit of the issue.
It does.
But the genie in the bottle is a really good call, because how do we do that? How do we readdress this?
Well, we don't. And the really bad stuff, Darce and Jim and Dark and Daisy, is actually not the permanent media. Now, I'm not going to sit here and wash hands of everything, because we've all done it and we will continue to do it. But the social media component to people's lives now, the dealing with the rumours that aren't true, it still takes time for the clubs to work out if it's true or not. It takes time for them to answer questions about it. And that is, I feel, in the last 10 years anyway, the biggest problems that they've got now. It's not, I mean, look, we deserve our own whack at times, the media. Don't get me wrong. And I'm deserving of it too. But when you talk about, Duck, there being the most pressure of any single person in society, it's the advent of this other stuff that's not the traditional media that is created into this point.
I'm not saying that. I didn't say traditional media. I just said in general.
I'd love to see Damo, a code of conduct. We're an Indigenous sport. We're only played in this part of the world. It's when you look at it in a handful of states, really, where the focus is so intense, the group of us, me included, working there, it would be brilliant to have an understanding. These are people who work in our industries, who are legends of our industry. Watching the way John Worsfold exited Essendon last, you would have thought that there was some sort of rap sheet that had some sort of criminal. That's one of the great people in our sport exits a shell of their former self. We saw Don Pike, who's one of the most successful people you've ever seen, personally, individually, coached a team to a grand final. The way he's treated out the door to me is something our industry's got to have a look at. And you know what, what does it mean? It means that perhaps you do. How many forms do you sign to be an accredited media person these days? I'd like to have one that says, we've got a bit of integrity, we've got some values around the way we treat. Now, that means you can still hold people to account.
You say that. But, I mean, you're referring to those photos that were published. They're always going to be taken, aren't they? And the paper in question bought the photos from an independent agency. So that's got nothing to do with the general coverage of the game. But those photos are always now, as of 2000 and maybe 15, 12, are going to be published, whether we like it or not, whether you sign as a subscriber to the football coverage, that document you're referring to.
No, I understand that, but I think the goodwill element could be brought back into the game a little bit. Respecting the great people and the great champions was the point that I was keen to make.
I also think, Damo, it stretches out a bit further than just senior coaches, although I agree with Duck, they're the ones that have more to deal with in that space. But, you know, even what's happening at Carlton and Collingwood at board level, you look at a potential EGM about to spill the board at Collingwood and the issues that the Blues have had. So I take a wider view of that and go, well, good luck getting a good director now. You know, if you go to someone down Collins Street and say, listen, we really need someone in the legal space to help us on the board at Carlton, he's going to go, are you joking me? Why would I put my name up for that? You know, I'll just get my head kicked in. You know, I would love to be able to help you, but I've got enough in my life. I'm not going to volunteer to do a job where I'm just going to start getting belted for something that most likely I've had nothing to do with. So I think it goes actually beyond just coaching.
Did that affect you, JB?
No, it didn't, but I knew I was going to get belted regardless of what happened because of what I was doing professionally. But I guess, Duck, what I'm talking about is you want to fill your board with really good people with really decent skill sets. So, you know, we're all rough and tumble and know what we're going to cop, I think.
Yep.
I certainly did. And Duke, you do too, as a director at the Western Bulldogs. But when you go to someone who's in the HR space, you know, and you say, right, oh, we really need some help at board level, you know, in this area, he or she is going to turn around and go, well, why would I... What's the incentive to do that?
Yeah, you know, I hear you, Jim, and I don't want to sound too defensive of media because it's not just the media we're talking about here, but it's the own supporter groups that turn on clubs too, and they force clubs to act in ways that are quite defensive at times. And when you talk about this boardroom review, Jim, this is a Collingwood members as much as the media, in the focus that's onto this.
I'm not just putting it on the media
situation.
People. I'm just saying that what's going to happen if the blood keeps spilling is I think the game is going to be stripped of really good people.
Yeah.
They're just going to turn around and go, why would I submit myself to that?
Yeah, and with the coaches being lost in the soft cap, as also being part of that, there are good people now, no longer part of the system.
It is a tough spot, though, as a bloke coming out of the game, trying to come into the media saying, I'm not going to pop my old clubs, I'm not going to pop players. When your last two teams are Collingwood and the Blues and that's the only talking points, it's hard not to be asked of an opinion and then give one being in the media. So, but to try and
stick up for
a football club and to try and stick up for people, you end up starting and creating that pile on that you're trying to stop because that's all we have to talk about.
But Daisy, when it's delivered from someone who's been in the NSA, I'm not suggesting it's an outside versus inside conversation, but the most brutal feedback happens internally. So if you're not going around the block to give someone, you're saying what you would have said to your teammate in the locker room. I think people respect that. Hmm. I just got this understanding. I'm not naive, Damo, to suggest you're going to control social, but there's a leadership stance that can be taken. I think that would be a good message that our code could sign up to that sends a goodwill message back to great champions of our game. Nathan Buckley couldn't have contributed more to our game, has been smashed more than anyone in our game. And, you know, and then as soon as they get sacked, we go, geez, what a great bloke. Fantastic. We wish him well today.
And come and join us in our media organisation, not the other one, because that's where he's going to go now.
And the same people that are saying he was no good as a coach, he's been a great coach. He was a fantastic coach right from the start to the finish. They were trying, 3 years ago, they were trying to get him out the door.
It's a big day for the Collingwood Football Club. Nathan Buckley, one of the game's greatest ever players. He spent a decade as the coach of the Magpies, and he sat down with his old teammate, Graham Wright, and said, I've had enough, and Wrighty's been good enough to join us as we speak now on Triple M Footy. Wrighty, thanks for your time today.
Yeah, no worries at all, guys.
Can you talk us through how that unfolded, the conversation that you had with Nathan Buckley, and how it got to today, him deciding this would be his last game?
Well, yeah, I started back in late Jan, early Feb, and we had conversations even then, obviously him being out of contract, and I think the only coach currently or this year that was out of contract. And basically what he told me then that he was quite happy to wait, wanted to assess where things are at from his perspective, but also too he felt that it was the right thing for the club. And from that moment onwards, we were having constant conversations about you know, what was the best thing for the footy club going forward. And those conversations get to a pointy end, which they did 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, where basically Bucks was of the opinion that if we were looking at a 3 to 5 year solution or a 3 to 5 year plan about what we were going to do, whether he'd be committed for that long. And once we'd had that conversation, it was pretty easy after that. But and then we discussed whether he should coach the remainder of the year or whether it was right for him and us to move in a different direction with a view that, you know, obviously from a transition point of view that we are transitioning list and that would give us some clear air, but also to give him some space and to work out what he wants to do next.
And part of that transition, Graham, with what you're referring to there in taking the club into its next phase, has Robert Harvey taking over as the caretaker as of next weekend. As you sit here...
As of tomorrow, actually.
As of tomorrow after today's game, yeah. So as you sit here today, is he a potential candidate for the permanent role?
We haven't discussed it at all. What I asked Harz was, would he be interested in taking over if Bucks was going to step down and step down now, and he was really keen and happy to do that. As I said the other day, if Harves applies for the job, he'd be absolutely considered. But it certainly hasn't been part of any of our discussions around what he's doing right now.
Okay, so you guys at Collingwood need to install one more person onto the selection committee. Is that right? And as you answer that, what process time-wise do you give yourselves now to work it out?
Yeah, we do need to add somebody, and obviously as Mark Anderson alluded to the other day, we'll go through that process hopefully in the next sort of week or so. But we're in no massive rush. From our perspective, we haven't even got a short list of names or anything like that. We'll work through that later this week, and obviously we have a bye going into this week's game. And important to get the boys on a break for a few days, and from my perspective, then to sit down with Peter Murphy, Paul Lethuria, and Mark Anderson, and then we'll get together a short list of names, but work out who that other person will be that'll come on and join us.
Just on Rob Harvey as the coach for the remaining part of the season, does he get his own way to do it, or is he going to still try and follow the game plan that's been in place for the last couple of years under Bucks, or do you just give him free range to go show us your best for the remainder of the season?
It's a really interesting question, actually, and Harves and I had a conversation about this the other day, and I think to actually, even if he wanted to implement a brand new game plan, we just haven't got time for the players to learn a new game plan from that perspective. They can change bits and pieces of what we do, and I'm sure Harves will have his own slant on it about how he wants to go about it, but it'll be very similar to what we are and what we've been doing now. So from that perspective, we won't put the handcuffs on him if he wants to change things. But you know, as we discussed the other day, it'd be really hard for the group to completely change what you're doing right now. But I'm sure he'll have his own ideas about what he would do differently.
And given that you've blooded a lot of young players this year because you've had to because of injuries and other things, is he able to? Does that continue on, or does he, you know, bring some of the, I guess, older, more senior players back in to have more, I guess, instant success?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. We probably haven't got that many that are not playing, to be honest, Wayne. So from that perspective, there's two or three that have been injured. If you're looking at Taylor Adams and Brody Grundy, and obviously Howie will be out a bit more long-term, but the other two might be back as early as our next game. So from that perspective, obviously you bring back your best players, but yep. we've started to have some discussions, you know, what do we need to get or what do we want to get out of the next nine games after we get past today? But we've been really respectful of those conversations taking place after today. And, you know, we'll sit down tomorrow and go through exactly what the club and what we need to get out of the last sort of nine games. But we're really respectful of where we sit with Nathan. And we didn't want to be... Sorry, guys. We didn't want to be having any of those conversations behind... behind closed doors, that Nathan's obviously still around and coaching and in charge. We felt that they could all take place because we've got the bye. They can all take place tomorrow and into the rest of the week.
Hey, Righty, speaking of exactly that, because of circumstance as much as anything else, you've had to introduce some new players in the last couple of months. Trent Bianco is one that interests me. I think you took him 45 in the 2019 draft. Any player that comes into an AFL system and looks as comfortable as he has in the games he's played, taken at 45, is a great result. I think he's averaging just under 18 possessions a game. Kicking is ranked elite. He just looks like he's got lots of time and understands what it's all about.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's been excellent in the three games, so two or three games that he's played for us. And as you said, some guys come in and just look as though they pick up the pace and even look better at AFL level than they do at VFL level. And he's certainly been one of those. And playing that high half forward role with a little bit of midfield, it's really hard to play as well. You've got to be a good player to actually keep getting a kick in that position, obviously. So from that point of view, he's looked really up to speed and has time and space at the elite level, which is really exciting for Collingwood supporters and members.
Graham, I know the unknown about the boardroom challenge is almost immune to yourself, and you'll continue your own operations with it. But do you expect it to be an issue for some of the prospective candidates you may approach to ask their interest for the role?
It's something I haven't really thought of, to be honest. I doubt it. I think anyone who is approached or asked to apply for the job of senior coach at the Collingwood Football Club or any AFL club would be super keen to go through that process. I hope so. But I don't think the border. I mean, it's one of those things. You want stability at all key areas of the business. But the way I see it at the moment is it's been very stable with Mark Corder and the guys, and they've been very, and girls, they've been very supportive of the football department all the way through since I joined. And you know, I can only talk really highly of those guys. They've been fantastic from our perspective. So that's what I see, and that's what I deal with every day. And from overall, I think most people coming in, I mean, that's all I can tell them. And obviously, whoever we do sit down with, I'm sure if they've got questions, they can ask them.
Right, it's been a huge couple of weeks for you and the role that you've played, and worth having a look. There's a fantastic photo on Triple M Instagram, Nathan Buckley arriving at the ground. He's got Ace and Jed, his two young boys, with him, which is fantastic. The family never lost on how important a day it is for Nathan and his family. Righty, thanks again for your time. Good luck today.
No worries at all, guys. Thanks for that.
Graham Wright, General Manager of Football Operations at the Magpies. Oh, got a fair bit to do,
no doubt,
in that role.
Jeez, I can see the screen. The sliders are assembling here, Duke.
We're just all eyes on the slide at the MCG. We're going to come back. We're going to be all over that. Shane Crawford, Daisy Pierce, Jeff Farmer. Looking forward to seeing the Wizards, Sarah Jones, Ray Chamberlain. We've got Shani Norder, Russell Howcroft, Big Fat Bill, Abby Holmes, Gil McLaughlin, all ready to go down the slide shortly for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M Rocks Footy.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
People all around us getting excited.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
We're nearly set to go at the MCG Big Freeze 7. G Flip Daisy played the AFLW Grand Final in fine voice. We had a little bit of G Flip, please, Leroy. Just, baby, just let me go. Beautiful stuff. Well done to G Flip performing nicely at the MCG. And for Bob Jane T-Marts, Bob Jane T-Marts Tyre and Wheel Specialist, visit bobjane.com.au. No man better placed than Robbo, who is centre stage. Let's get a little scene set of Robbo.
Oh, it's weird. It's weird, Lukey. I tell you, the fact that there's no crowd, but Neil Danner has just popped his head up, so we're nearly ready to go. Can't wait for Billy to come down the slide. He's just going to dwarf everyone into the freeze. He's going to some frothies in the ice. It's magnificent. I tell you what, they're one $1,000,030 so far, and they're counting to $2 million by half time of the main game. So that's the target. They've got over 48 million they've raised for MND. But what a courageous, brave man Neil Danaher is, and it's just an inspiration to be involved in this once again.
Yeah, it certainly is, Robbo. We concur with that. Neil's legacy is just extraordinary, and his words quite inspirational. Every time you hear Neil involved, it's a magic moment. And the sliders are not far away from ready to go, JB. And Shane Crawford, little Shane's up first.
He goes the first little ween. Beck, we need to acknowledge as well in the family, yep, the team. I mean, it is just quite extraordinary what that whole family have done in this space. And she is an amazing force of nature, Beck.
She's got the Neil twinkle in her eye, yeah, Beck, when you see that sense of humour and the fun. Doing an amazing job campaigning for the Fight M&D cause. Now, how it's going to work, Duck and Daisy are going to go through. We're going to score out of 30. Righto. It's 10 for costume, 10 for routine, and 10 for execution. Okay, righto, so like stay tuned. We're not far away from a little Shane.
I think it's good. As we get ready for Shane, I took great pleasure in seeing that an hour into the fourth day of the test match at Edgbaston, New Zealand managed to just wipe the floor with England. Yeah. I don't care who plays against England. When they lose, it's a joyous occasion.
It's always a good result, isn't it?
So,
and even better when it's New Zealand, who we actually like as well.
Yeah, so, well, as long as we're not playing against them, we hope they win. So well done.
Back. I mean, just to hear her talk even this week again, as she has now done for 7 years in a row at this point in time, just the initial conversations they had around the family table as to how to acknowledge and do something about this. And to then go back to those 7 years through to this week, Jim, it's incredible to think that thought bubble that she and others had to get this campaign off the ground to 7 years later, it being the arguably the greatest ever media-driven charity event in the history of sport.
And almost hand-make the beanies to start with table. Mm, I mean, it is a triumph what these people are doing.
Yeah. It's inspirational, isn't it, really, when you consider everything that's going on in the world and they're able to put this cause bigger than what's going on a personal level and family level, make it greater than one person and doing such a great job. As we said, $50 million almost, that is just unbelievable effort.
And Daisy, the great tragedy of motor neurone disease, as I understand, was that it is such a beast of a disease, Neil's words, that people didn't live long enough to hang around and to champion a cause like that. And I've had in recent times, you know, friends whose fathers had passed away with MND now have got something they can get behind in the past. Shane Crawford stepped up to the plate.
What's he doing?
And we're ready to go. Big Freeze 7. Duck, what are you seeing with little Shane there?
Looks like he's holding a cake, so it's Queen's birthday, and he's sitting on top of the Queen.
As Elton John.
He's got a Dame Edna vibe maybe as well.
Dame Edna, who's he rolling here? Who's he channeling?
He's holding a cake, Daisy.
Jim, you know him best.
He's handed the cake
out of
off
his panel.
To Beck. Great to see Neil looking fantastic as well.
He's had a piggyback on the, like on the a shoulder moulder on the Queen. What is he doing?
He's trained off a bit too, Shane.
No doubt about that.
He's that's an interesting costume. I think
it's actually the Queen that's beneath Shane, if that makes sense. He's got the Dame Edna style. Queen's birthday.
Happy
birthday. Glasses on.
Yeah.
And great to see Neil smiling, ready to push Croft down the slide. First slider in. Fairly regulation entry from Crawford.
There was not a whole lot in that, was there?
There would have been a bit more sizzle from Crawford.
No, not a whole lot of theatrics or anything. Just straight down the middle. As the first slider, you've got to set the scene a little bit, of course. And we get a look on the replay.
Duck's giving it one on execution.
Yeah, well, has he got undies on under there? It's not a great visual.
No, well, we saw that with the old enforcer a few years ago where the look from below the slide was very, very unfortunate. I want to know from Robbo, are we going to get Shane on?
We'll find out
what he's actually doing with the costume, interest me.
And just having a look at the ice, it is a soup that Neil has prepared. It's as thick. And everyone who has been will promise you that it takes your breath away. We're at the MCG. We're going to catch up with Shane Crawford shortly. We're tuning in now, Little, are we? We'll just hear what's going on very soon. So, what initial thoughts, Duck, on Shane Crawford, first slider?
I actually like the outfit. He's gone to a bit of effort. He's even baked himself a cake. And I thought the Queen was a good resemblance. And I liked it. So, costume, I gave him an 8.
All right, we'll come back. He's got Shane Crawford now, Robbo.
Hey, Crawford, Brownlow medalist, premiership player, some fond memories at the G. This is a weird one, though, isn't it?
It is a weird one, but it's just nice to be a very, very small part of, you know, a very special day. So the only disappointing thing is the game not being here so the crowd could really get amongst it, but I'm sure they do a great job in Sydney.
You're a comic. What were you dressed in? What are you doing with the Queen?
Well, it's the Queen's birthday, so it's hard to think of many topical things, especially, you know, at the moment. It's all a bit negative, so I thought I'd bring the Queen along for a bit of a party, and she had a great time, she said.
What'd you say to Neil at the top?
I just said that we love him, and he's a superstar.
Well done, Croft.
Thank you, Robbo. Thank you, Croft. Daisy Pierce takes the slide. I'm confused again. Daisy Thomas?
That's Bluey. That's the children's character, Bluey.
Oh, man, at that market these days. Duck, this is more your genre. She's gone in and it's full sort of cartoon. Life-size. That's actually dangerous. Daisy hasn't come out of the water. You need to get the fire brigade in there. Concern Daisy's up and she's breathing. That was a bit of a concern there for a moment. She's pretty tough, Daisy Pierce.
The dismount is important for Daisy too with the knee surgery.
I was going to say, Jim, she's taking a bad knee to that slide.
I like the fact that she, you know what I mean, she was in the ice for a long time. I like that. She didn't just come straight out like Crawford.
She couldn't get out. She was drowning, Duck.
I thought she did very good. I like her.
She's a ripper, Daisy. Great.
Don't
big
you know
smile
who Bluey? Your kids are too old for Bluey.
I've missed Bluey. That's gone.
Little Carter just bought some new Bluey jammies, actually. Had them on last night.
Is that right? Bluey was, of course, the famous cop series back in the 70s that Barjas came out. That's the Bluey we know.
Exactly.
As older types, but she is a ripper, Daisy.
We need an explanation from Robbo when he speaks to her about what the inspiration for Bluey was, of course, because otherwise I'm a bit confused.
She's a mother. Of twins, Daisy, as we know, so and a midwife as well.
Well, that probably makes a bit more sense.
Might a little bit to be. And have a look at Neil. You've got a ripping smile on his face. He's loving every moment. Fightmnd.org.au. As you're listening, if you haven't got behind this wonderful cause, please jump online. You can still get hold of a beanie. You can donate as we talk,
and
Duck.
If, and if Daisy goes home with that costume on, she'll be very popular with the twins. Don't worry about that.
Yes. Louie, it's a new one for me.
So
Peppa Pig is the English version. Bluey's Australian.
Right, I get you.
Duck's all over this. We're going to get to Robbo. He's got Daisy Pierce.
It's a bit of a favourite at home. It was a favourite with our kids, but they've gone off it. But Ben and I still find ourselves sitting there watching it, realising we're the only ones left on the couch sometimes.
Struggled to get out of it. What was going on?
Production meetings about how I was going to get down the slide safely in that thing. But, that was not a bad result, even though I struggled. Oh, he's just amazing. I mean, his selflessness and resilience is a lesson for us all, and it's just humbling to be here and to be a part of. It's his day, really. His and his family's, they've done such a good job of, you know, making this such a special day, not just on the footy calendar, but for all Australians. And, yeah, just for anyone that would be suffering, MND, and I've got a couple of people close to me, my pop Keith, my stepdad Joel's stepdad, Keith, passed away recently from MND. And also one of my best mate Dave, his mum, Margie Parsons, passed away a number of years ago now. It's a cruel disease. This gives people like them and their families and anyone diagnosed now some hope. So just amazing.
Beautifully said, Daisy Pierce. We love Daisy. She's a legend and summed it up beautifully. The wizard, Jeff Farmer. He's come dressed as Daisy.
He's the wizard. He's the Melbourne wizard.
I like it.
He's got the wandy. Oh, he's dethroned.
Beautiful.
Robing.
He's taken the wizard costume off, and he would have played a lot of footy under Neil Danaher, the Wiz, for sure.
The famous game, of course.
Oh, and he's giving it a little bit of extra going in the old budgies as well.
He's out in front for mine. I'm not part of the official scoring panel here, but he's gone from the wizard costume into the budgies, JB.
A bit of routine going under your dust for the first time.
Like this. Yep.
And there was a little bit of Hulk Hogan, maybe, about what the Wiz did there with Neil.
He's put the beard back on.
Oh, they're nine. He's got the nine Sharons for the nine goals in 40 minutes.
Well, it was Neil that didn't want to put him back on.
That's it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So the legendary Jeff Farmer, nine in the second half.
Nine in 40 minutes he kicked against Collingwood.
Extraordinary occasion that was at the MCG.
Neil had thrown his magnet outside the box. Someone had to go and get it and bring it back and put it on.
Here goes the wizard down the slide. He's still got some magic. Everything he does, he looks brilliant. Great to see him, Jeff Farmer.
Good.
Standing ovation here.
He's still got the wand.
In the Triple M studio, he did beautifully well. So the bag of nine Sharons,
nine
I like that.
Nine Sharons.
That was a good touch.
Yep.
Well, the judges are going
and the standard wizard celebration too, just looking to the crowd going, how good am I?
We had him on, Wiz, on the Saturday Rub, and we were talking about that exact game and Chris Fagan in the box saying to Neil Danaher, I think that's seven. I reckon that might be eight. Wow. Neil in the end just said, don't say another word.
He's going to be hard to beat on the scores that are coming through from Duck and Daisy.
Hey, JB, was that the one of the great goals we've ever seen? Was that one of the nine where he might have given it to Gary Lyon.
Got it back
and then
barrel.
Kicked a spiral to run.
It could have been.
As good a goal as I think I've ever seen.
Nine in a half. In actual fact, 40
minutes.
40 minutes, yep. 40 minutes.
Yeah, he could turn
and
it on.
And said couldn't catch a cold in the first half.
Of course, two marks of the year standing on Gary's head, which Gary found really annoying, which is why we like to replay it a lot, just to remind him that he was the great stepladder, actually. Of course, Sean White. Sean Smith taking the greatest ever mark on top of Carrara.
A lot of theatre there, though, to bring the nine little footies to Neil.
It's going to be hard to beat.
You remember?
Let's get the wizard, Jeff Farmeridge, with Robbo.
Did you walk us through your costume today?
I'm about on the talk, but the costume itself had a lot of people donate Melbourne scarves. The talented and beautiful Shannon Axton sewed it all together for me, along with the help of Keanu Scout and Lexi, came up with a magnificent piece for a great occasion as well. So very, very cold. I'm looking forward to a nice hot shower, but it's been a great cause, and hopefully people continue to keep donating and keep supporting it like they always do.
Was it the nine Sharons in the bag in 40 minutes, was it?
There was a bag of nine that was kicked 21 years ago. So had to try and put those in there, mate, and then obviously the wizard costume and a few other things. Very proud of the day and obviously, you know, what it stands for.
Turn on again, mate.
No, he's like, I'm going to push you. Nah, look, there's a lot of love, like I was saying, both ways, you know, as a player, coach, and then as human beings, you know, got nothing but the respect for the man and what he's doing. Very proud to be a part of it.
It's big 3-7. We've got three sliders have already made their way down. We saw Daisy Pearce, Shane Crawford kicked it off,
yep.
And the wizard Jeff Farmer was simply outstanding. Fightmnd.org.au. Jump onto that website now and please donate. Duck, who's stood out so far, please?
Oh, look, I've loved all their costumes. To be honest, I like the fact that Crawford had the Queen and the cake. There's a bit of effort into that, so I gave him an 8 for costume, Crawford. I also gave Daisy an 8 because I've got young kids and they love Bluey, and I like Bluey.
We had to be informed, JB and I, about Bluey, but it's an appeal to Duck. Yes, she was awesome.
But I thought the Wiz, I gave the Wiz 9 for his just for the effort, the fact that he got a bit of help, obviously, sewing all the scarves together. But the fact that he took it all off and then went in basically with nothing on in the freezing cold was unbelievable. But where he got them all so far was execution. The fact that he went to real effort, really launched into the water, went under, and then even when he was getting out, did a little duck dive.
And still had the 9 footies too, Duck. That was a nice touch.
Had the 9 footies.
So you and Daisy are ranking each performer out of 10 for each category of, under the headline costume, routine, execution. We've got a clear leader after three sliders, that being Jeff Farmer on 55, Daisy Pearce on 31, and Crawford, Jim, disappointingly on 19 out of a total of 60.
I think that's a bit harsh on Shane. The only thing I would say is that poor Queen trying to hold him up. I mean, he's not in his playing condition, is he? Here we go now.
We're heading
Sarah Jones.
Sarah Jones, the wonderful Sarah Jones.
Mary Poppins.
A bit of Mary Poppins about that.
It's a good look.
Just assuming that's Mary where we've got that wrong, Jonesy. Does a fantastic job on Fox Footy.
She does.
It's Mary Poppins for sure.
Yeah, it looks great.
She's ready to take the slide and musical theatre routine.
I like it.
Well done, Jonesy.
Yes, very good.
Just the full Mary Poppins dance to start
and
off.
And can move.
Yes.
That's good.
And a bit of rhythm, which will not be something Gil McLaughlin or Bill Brownless or any of them are going to be able to do. So Jonesy was great. And a big smile from Neil. Neil's loved it. Beck Danaher there as well as Sarah gets ready to take the slide.
Oh, now this is interesting. The umbrella comes too. Oh, that's brilliant.
Very good.
Brilliant.
Now it starts to sink in, JB. I've actually got to go into the freezing cold ice. Jonesy's head right under there. Oh, no. Literally takes your breath away. Well done to Sarah Jones. That was fantastic.
All class.
She's going to be right up there with a wizard for mine, Daisy, I think.
That was brilliant. And just the old, as she's entered the water and come up, genuinely taken the breath away. And the umbrella, bit of theatrics there too, going inside out, Mary Poppins style, as it would fly away.
And get out of the thing at your peril too, the pool, because we saw Chrissy Fagan rip the hamstring off the bone a few years ago. So. You've got to be careful. That was brilliant, Sarah Jones.
And that is a 12-week injury, the hamstring off the bone that Chris Fagan suffered last year. So extraordinary scenes. We saw Luke Beveridge a couple of years ago override the OH&S team and said, it's Neil's day. I'm surfing down. I don't care what you say.
So, he's the only one that's done it like that.
I liked it.
Too, Bevo. I liked it.
It was good. Sarah Jones was fantastic. What did you think, Duck, of Sarah Jones?
Well, costume, once again. I'm rating the costumes, and Daisy's is a bit harder than me, but I gave it a 9. A lot of effort.
Oh,
but I'll tell you what I gave her. I gave her a 10 for routine. What about the little the dance and everything else? Brilliant.
Well, Nick Riewoldt, of course, set the very high bar with Freddie Mercury.
Sarah matched that. Execution, though, just I think once she knew she was going to hit the water, everything else, she just blobbed in.
I don't blame her.
Just a 6 for execution.
You marked it low there, Duck. Daisy's maintained his 9-10-9 ratings as he did for Wiz on Sarah, but you've dropped the execution, which means she's only in second place.
Costume routine, just the execution let her down. I would have liked her to be under and get, you know, dive right in.
I was just thinking the execution of going down with an umbrella, holding onto a handbag as well.
Good.
It's not overly easy.
With a smile.
He's got Sarah Jones.
Jonesy, what about the routine beforehand? Magic, magic. Actually matched Nick Revolt with Freddie Mercury.
Well, my dad, I did ballet my whole childhood in a juke, and Dad always says it didn't really amount to much. So there you go. That was 10 years of ballet paying off just then.
300 bags of ice. They're going to put 360 and 3 tonne of ice into the joint. How cold was it?
Look, these guys are all athletes, so they've done ice baths. I've never done anything like that before.
Thank you, Sarah Jones.
Oh,
and you can tell this is Ray Chamberlain now.
Look at Razor.
What's Ray rolling? Was that a bit of Elton John,
Elton
maybe?
Elton John. Absolutely it is. It's a sequins onesie.
It's a very tiny Elton is what we're going with at the moment. Yeah, Razor Ray Chamberlain down the slide. He hasn't mucked around, Ray. Straight in there like a little jockey.
That's good.
Pops up. Well done, Ray Chamberlain.
I like that.
A bit of a cult hero, you have to say, Ray Chamberlain, amongst the umpiring fraternity.
I'll tell you what, if you've got a spare minute this afternoon, just jump on his Instagram and have a look. Razor Ray Media. He's just...
What sort of stuff does Ray roll with?
Well, there's a little... Just have cast an eye over. It's worth a look. He's doing a little bit of goal umpiring in some of the photos. It's very much like Ray. Ray just liking Ray's own work.
That's good. I like that. This is, of course, the famous Dodger Stadium Elton John performance where he filled it out.
That's right.
One of the all-time great concerts, and he's done that brilliantly, Ray.
Would that be Tiny Dancer?
Tiny Dancer,
There'd be a few links
Saturday
there to Ray. What would you make of Ray?
I like his costume. I gave him an 8 for his costume.
Oh, ducks flat on him.
No, he's nothing down.
Routine. He didn't really do much other than just get up on the slide and slide down.
Listen to Duck.
So he gets a 7. But execution, 7, because he just went in, he stayed under for a little while, and then pounced out like a little jockey.
Yes, that's Ray Chamberlain. How about you, Daisy?
No, I gave him a 3 for the costume.
Daisy!
Is there some history?
There's a fair bit of history here. Just umpires in general. I'm still 7.5K lighter from one of them, so I gave him a 1 for his routine, and I gave him a 3 for the execution.
That's agenda.
Let's hear from Ray Chamberlain. Is it Robbo?
Hey, Razor, no crowds. Can't play up to the crowds today. A bit weird being at the G without a crowd.
I was just saying that to Shani, so we had to create our own atmosphere up there, which is good. They're a great group.
So what do we got? The Dodgers. This is the famous Elton John concert and the whole lot, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I wasn't allowed to bring a baseball bat in, mate, but I might have had to swing it a couple. But great kit, bespoke fit, and we got through.
I know you're very behind your own charity, but this is massive, and I know you're up having a chat to Neil. Perfect for the umpires to lead them down the slide. Fantastic effort today.
The entire umpiring family is so connected to Neil and the broader MND fight against the beast. We've been supporting for a long time, and we're just really grateful to have been included today because it's so important.
And they shorten the pool. This is only a toddler's pool, just for you too, Rays.
I might put in a request.
Thanks. Well done, mate.
Good on you, Ray Chamberlain, doing a great job there.
Robbo running some material.
I know. Now, JB, what are we seeing up there? Craig Bellamy couldn't get back into Melbourne because of the restrictions.
Yes, the great Craig Bellamy. And so he's actually going to do his own version up there. And boy, I think he's just copped a nice bath from a few of the boys, the Melbourne Storm boys. How are they going, by the way?
Dressed as Elsa from Frozen.
Yep. Let it go.
That's very good.
Nice duck. He's all over.
Elsa.
He is.
That was, and could you see the joy on a few of the Melbourne Storm boys who got the chance to tip the double buckets of ice over Craig Bellamy's head? Fantastic. What a legend Craig Bellamy is.
Because they say, Duke, you talk to the Storm boys, they say he can deliver a cook as straight down the middle as you've ever received. And it's a different dynamic in the rugby league space days. They cop it straight.
Yeah, they don't mince their
your
words
eyes
one
don't,
bit.
If your eyes divert away from his, look out. So they would have enjoyed
always that. Always get great enjoyment out of watching them when they're 40-3 up against someone, 40-4 up, and he's going absolutely bunter in the coach's box. The game is all over. He's a perfectionist. That's why they're so good.
Am I lost a bit here? Is he not going down now?
Couldn't make it down because of restrictions. So he's caught in Sydney, so
they gave him the ice over, Elsa.
Yes, that was Craig Bellamy. So we'll get some thoughts on that in a moment as well, JB.
Because we've got a little break here. I was talking to, I don't know whether it was one of the Storm boys that came into the rush hour, and they reckon that you get in after, if the performance has been ordinary, you get in the rooms afterwards and the circle of chairs comes out and he absolutely gives it to you, like straight, cop it straight. But then Purple, at the end of it, he goes, "Got any issue with that?" Just leaves it with
him. At least he clears the air.
Yeah, you got any issue with that?
And if you do, speak up.
Yeah, if you do, but if you don't, then we're done. Okay. And then the esky comes out.
There you go.
That's how he rolls. Yeah. The belly ache.
Should
and
be more
they absolutely love him.
So what are we doing here?
We've got Shani Nordo, who's an Australian netball legend, twice voted the Australian Netball of the Year, and she's going with a rap routine at the moment. She's an AFLW player for Collingwood as well. Now, routine-wise, that's right out of your ballpark, that
there
one.
There is chains, there is hats on sideways, and there is proper gangster moves into flips and a little bit of breakdancing.
Who is she, though? We know who
is it Eminem?
It's got the old boombox, too.
It's got a little bit of...
over the shoulder.
A little bit of Run DMC.
Yeah, potentially.
Could be Vanilla Ice.
Ice a baby probably makes sense.
Yes. And got a great reception from Neil too, which is always a good sign. Neil loved it.
She's still going. She's not bad.
She's all over it. Now she's away. Shardy, nice entry as well. Brilliantly done.
We might have just released the trigger a bit quick on her there. We got a Harvey Norman replay for this.
Here's Shani making her way down the slide. The terror kicks in about halfway down the slide, doesn't it? You work out what's coming. So we just saw Ray Chamberlain. We just saw Sarah Jones. That was Shani Norda.
Still
what are we making of that,
going,
Duck?
The costume, although I don't know exactly who she was. Clearly a rapper. But I'll tell you what, the routine's a 10.
Yep.
Got a 10 for me in the routine.
There you go.
Routine.
Full marks. 10 out of 10 for Shani on that one.
Yep.
Sarah Jones was outstanding as Mary Poppins. We think Ray Chamberlain was Elton John. We've heard from... Well, how many have we had? Shane Crawford, Daisy Pierce, the Wizard, Jeff Farmer's been outstanding. Sarah Jones, Ray Chamberlain, that was Shani. Russell Howcroft is up next, Duck. And then Billy Brownless, Abby Holmes and Gil McLaughlin to round out. Big 3-7.
I'd like to give... I know Craig's not sliding down, but we did see his outfit as Elsa. So I want to give him a 9 just for his outfit.
Yes, as a man who's spent many an afternoon dancing around my own kitchen in an Elsa outfit with young Matilda, it's not beyond that, so I'll give him a 9
Great show, Frozen and Frozen 2, Das.
Let's get to Robbo.
Had to be a part of it. Shani, Vanilla Ice, was it? Was that the gig?
Yes, it was Vanilla Ice. I thought, what can I do that's in theme? I love to have a bit of a boogie every now and again, and I just thought, you know, it goes with it. So that was my era growing up with music, and it just suited really well.
Now, Melbourne, Collingwood, obviously big with Collingwood, big day for Nathan and all that sort of stuff, but part of Collingwood.
Yeah, obviously really excited for the Pies today and a huge day to Nathan. So good luck to him and the boys, and obviously, wishing him all the best in his last game after a huge career.
You're that cold, you can't speak. Well done.
All right, thank you, Robbo. Went under Shani. Russell Howcroft.
Jim, take us through it.
Ross and Russ for AW Breakfast.
I don't know what that is.
Is it My Heart Beats
True? Yeah, that's
true
where I'm going.
For the red and the blue.
The red and the blue heart on the big lead-off sort of setup.
Board member at the Melbourne Footy Club, Damien Barrett.
Formerly.
Russell Howcroft, we're talking about.
Yeah, and a great friend of Neil's through his association with the Demons, currently on 3AW Breakfast with Ross Stevenson at the moment.
He's a ripper, Russell Howcroft, and he's a very proud Melbourne man, and he's got the big demon heart. He's giving a little pat to Neil on the way down. In goes Russ.
He's landed it.
Very.
He did land it.
It's almost the perfect landing from Russ. I'm not sure he's got his head under, which you'll lose points for, Duck.
He will.
I'm assuming you've got to get the head under.
It's not cold enough.
Very simplistic, the whole thing, that one.
Duck's got his eye right in me.
He gave Crawford one for his routine.
I love him as a personality, but his outfit was just a bit of pain on his chest.
But he did land the jump.
I liked it, yep. No,
the board stayed up.
He didn't have a routine. He just walked up and jumped on the slide, which...
I can see twos and ones on your score sheet there, Duck. It's not going to go too...
It's a feedback-driven world here, Daisy. What did you make of Russell Howcroft?
I didn't mind the costume. Anyone who's presenting in that sort of shape, similar to the shape I am in the minute, sort of almost round, and he's gone with the lid off, so well done to him. And, well, I give him a 4 for that. The routine, well, there wasn't one, so he can have a 1 just for going down. And I gave him an 8.5 for the execution because he nearly just continued sliding out of the big pool of ice.
I think he might have had a waxing as well, Russell, looking at that. Or
and
he's
a spray tan.
Stripped right back, Russell Howcroft. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Fightmnd.org.au. Big 3-7. Bill Brownless is next for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M Roxbury.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
People all around us getting excited.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Now we're straight to Bill Brownless, McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Big 3-7. And what's he rolling with, JB? Sight any of us need to see.
No.
He's got the Victoria bit of jocks on.
Assumption College rowing singlet or something like that. So hasn't gone to a hell of a lot of effort for me.
So Neil Danaher, an Assumption College legend, and obviously Bill made it about himself, both from Assumption College. And
he did.
No routine, Daisy, for Bill.
No, he's just giving it. No, he's flexed a couple of times, but
he's off. He's a big unit, as we know.
Oh! Oh,
he's done the full flip.
That's good. That's the only good bit of this.
Yes, true. I don't think that was intentional. I think it was just a body weight issue. It took him upside down, Bill. He looks as surprised as anyone. But nice execution, Daisy, I thought.
Yeah, the end part was obviously the best there. With just gravity taking over and making me do almost a full backflip on the way in.
Did the water stay in the pool, Jim?
That saved him. Yep. Because the rest of it was absolutely pedestrian.
I'll give you my costume is a one. Routine, a one.
Oh, that's generous.
Execution, a 10. Yeah, perfect marks. No. He's been the best, and I agree with you. It was just a weight thing.
inadvertent execution, 10. There wasn't any tactics in it. Fightmnd.org.au, raising money for this great cause, as always.
Commercialised the bathers, too. Yeah. He's got a VB set of bathers on, so he's obviously done a side deal.
What did you have, Dave?
Which I think is deplorable.
Well, I gave him a 2 for the costume because he once stayed at my house, did Bill, after we had a few beers one night, and I woke up to him swimming laps in my pool in nothing else but the jocks that he wore the night before. So the fact that he put a top over the top of it, because I swore to him that if he ever did that again, he'd be out.
Let's go to Robbo. Sorry to cut you off, Daisy.
Up there. I knew that. It was a good look, wasn't it, Robbo? It was a shocking look. Shocking. The Assumption footy jumper, obviously the background with Neil.
Yeah, number 36, and Neil were number 36 at Assumption, and obviously a very good footballer, cricketer at Assumption, so just good to get the old collegians out there. They might dig deep.
Fond memories here at the MCG, 4 grand final.
Memories, no, but did kick the goal here from about 75 metres out after the siren, if you remember that one.
What about you, you flog, watching all your highlights pre the slide?
I hadn't seen some of them. They were good. They were back in the Brisbane Bear days, so they weren't that good of highlights, but it's good to watch yourself, Robbo, as you do every night when you go home.
Thank you, Bill. We're right in the middle of the big freeze 7 for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocking footy, and we've caught just in time Abby Holmes making her way down the slide. Now, Doug, you had a bit of inside mail on what Abby's paying homage to.
Well, being a great boundary rider for 7, she's taking off the great dipper. Adele, I really, very, very good look-alike. I like the whole outfit, gone to a bit of trouble.
The old seven dries of bones.
Yes,
going
yes.
Back into the wardrobe department at 7 to find the original dipper.
It. Just looking at the Harvey Norman replay screen now, though, Dust, I just want to have a look at the execution again, because I didn't quite get whether there was a twist at the bottom. Oh, a little bit of a side burner.
Nice work, Abby Holmes. Yes. Did a great job. Fightmnd.org.au. We're going to keep giving that number out, raising, we hope, several $1 million this afternoon.
Saw some old vision of Dip doing his best work, not only on the boundary, but in the rooms. And I think I saw a little very young racetrack, Ralphie Horowitz. Did he used to produce Dipper, did he?
Yes, I believe he
must
did.
Have. Yep,
that would be right.
He doesn't look like that now, old racetrack.
So we've got one slider to come, and we're going to finish with the Chief. Gil McLaughlin's going to come down, the CEO of the AFL. So we've had Shane Crawford, Daisy Pearce, the Wizard Jeff Farmer personally was a standout. Sarah Jones was outstanding, as Mary Poppins, Razor Ray, Elton John. Sharni went as Vanilla Ice, the Australian netball legend, good. Russell Howcroft. Well, Russ just put a demon heart on his chest, shaved down, and thought that was appropriate.
Jim was not impressed.
Bill Brownless in his Victoria bitter underwear and commercialising the event was disgraceful.
I wasn't that impressed with Russ, but he had Bill covered. Bill was the worst. He's the worst comfortable.
Abby was good, Daisy, I thought.
Oh, no. Yeah. Bill's execution got him out of trouble.
That's all.
Accidentally.
Score up.
So with one slider to come, that being Gillen at McLaughlin, we have Jeff Farmer, the Wizard, on 55. We have Sarah Jones, Mary Poppins, on 53. And currently third, we have Sharni Norder, who was the rapper.
I love my job at Channel 7 on the boundary. I love what I do each and every weekend, but there's been so many incredible people that have come before us. Sorry if I'm spitting ice water on you guys, but thing at the boundary, and I wanted to pay homage to him today.
That's still got pie stains, hasn't it? Sauce and pie stains on that dry as a bone.
Yes, this has come from the great man's wardrobe. This is the collector's item, and it does. Pie right here, I reckon that's from 97. Definitely some jam donuts on here as well, but thank you to the great man for letting me borrow it.
Well done, Abby Holmes, down there with Robbo. And Craig Bellamy as well, Daisy, who unfortunately, due to restrictions, couldn't get back into Melbourne, we understand. So he had the Storm boys around him, and who was he paying tribute to again?
He was dressed as Elsa from the Frozen franchise. So, and as you said, the boys from the Storm just really enjoyed launching some frozen water at him. Far
Frozen
too much.
Had a big musical plan for this month, Das, and into July, but has had to be cancelled because of everything. So on later in the year, which we're all missing out.
It's a good update.
The King is aware and disappointed about the reschedule of the Frozen Munich. Who would have thought you'd be having that conversation with the King, Wayne Carey, at some stage? Over Bluey as well, which was Daisy Pierce's costume. Oh,
yeah. Was it Dipper who was in front of Alan Richardson that time, who we spoke to before, when he got absolutely minced?
Michael Voss.
At the Gabba there?
Yes, it was. Wally Lewis was sitting next to him.
And you could see, see him just quickly trying to get the microphone.
Collectively, the girls have nailed it. Daisy, Sarah, and Shani, and also Abby, they have been far and away better than the boys.
Yeah, they're always going to be, Doug.
More far sophisticated and way better than the boys. A little bit of talent.
A lot of effort into it. Just put on a show.
Sarah Jones's ballet skills came out there, Daisy. You didn't realise she had a ballet background, Jonesy.
Might have to go back over.
No, very hard on Jonesy, Duck.
No, it wasn't. Nine and ten.
No, he gave her 9 and 10.
Yeah, what was the first one?
No, nine.
You only gave her six for execution.
Yeah.
All right, here we go, Duck. We're going to go back to the MCG. Gil McLaughlin standing by. Now, not known for his sense of humour.
No.
Not known for his entertainment skills.
No, just a boring man.
So let's see what he comes up with. Gil, I'm assuming there's a mustard jacket under there. Once went to the Warrnambool races in a mustard jacket, which was an extraordinary performance.
I hope it's better than that.
He's got some musical accompaniment. And we're going back to the loaf, Meatloaf, from the grand final. What year was that, JB? I'm trying to think.
About 10 years ago, the single worst performance anyone's ever put in at the MCG, and that includes some of my own.
Oh, he's got the...
He's come out with a bit of Meatloaf.
And
a good look too for Gil. I'm going to have to pay some respect here.
That's his natural hair too, Dust.
Don't mind it.
2011 grand final, Meatloaf. A lot of people thought he was unwell, the loaf.
I was underneath just doing my thing at halftime. We're obviously playing against the Cats, and from all reports, missed absolutely bugger all.
Did you have any indication that something had gone horribly wrong, Daisy, as you were warming up to get out there?
No, I remember my mum, almost the second thing she said after consoling us after the loss was something along the lines of, well, you didn't at least have to watch the halftime entertainment.
He had a mid-song seizure.
It was very bad.
He actually stopped.
And he had the chewy in the mouth too, Jim, which was very visible to all, unfortunately.
Was it Lionel Richie the year before that they had and was absolutely brilliant. Knocked it out the park?
Yeah. Shot the lights out, Lionel Richie. And then, so Gil obviously had a hand in Meatloaf.
He's talking way too much here, by the way. Just get on your thing and slide down.
Paid the loaf $500,000, they tell me, JB, for that performance.
Yeah.
And
he didn't earn it.
Going back to the 2011 grand final, as you said, he's milking it a bit.
Yeah, just
doing a stand-up routine, Gil.
He's milking it a bit.
The CEO of the AFL, that's the gravitas that Neil Danaher has. When Neil reaches out, everyone wants to get involved in this fantastic day, and we've saved Gil McLaughlin, the AFL CEO, to last. Now, let's see. He's a big unit, Gil. He's always need a bigger slide than that, Daisy.
He does not look comfortable on the slide.
He's taking his time, and Neil's got a lot of joy in his face. He's going to enjoy.
He's loving this.
He's not holding on either at the minute. This isn't safe.
Just dragging the time out too, Gil, isn't he? The airtime.
Making it about himself, not surprisingly.
FightMND.org.au. Our final slider, Gil McLaughlin, hanging on for dear life. And well played, Gil, as Meatloaf. Took in a bit of water, I reckon, too, the big man. What did you make of that, the King?
Yeah, good effort, costume. Thought it was going to be a bit flat, but pretty good. Execution, not bad. Routine, well, spoke too much.
Just a little too much, Daisy.
Very similar. Costume, I gave him a 6. Routine, you can have a 2 because it just dragged out and you're padding for a good 35 minutes there. And execution, a 4. He went in and... Well, he took a bit of water on.
By the way, the padding mightn't have been his fault.
No.
We'll make sure that it wasn't his fault, JB.
It's not about you, Gil. How many times can we say it? We'll hear from him with Robbo shortly. But that was Shane Crawford, Daisy Pierce, the Wizard Jeff Farmer, Sarah Jones, Razor Ray Chamberlain, Sharni Norda, Russell Howcroft, Billy Brownless, Abby Holmes. We had Craig Bellamy dialed in from Sydney and Gil McLaughlin to round out the big 3-7. It was fantastic.
All I know is this. I'm not privy to the votes. I'm looking forward to hearing from Damo Duck and, of course, Daisy as to how they've seen it. But in my own voting, our man comfortably last. Now, Bill Brownless, that's embarrassing, the Triple M fan. We should have the most sizzle of any slider because of the, you know, amazing sort of presence of this network, and he's just embarrassed.
Bill, let us
Gil's
stand
just
now.
Put the mustard jacket on. Do you want to reassess this now,
the
boys?
The McLaughlin brothers have turned up at the end, so Hamish has handed him the mustard jacket.
You might have to reassess your last...
points
well,
off.
Well, he's come with a late charge, I reckon,
so
Daisy.
He's tried actually for a routine after he had the routine.
Yeah, not bad, though.
I like the mustard.
So for the routine, that will now go up to a 7.
We will change it.
Okay.
The reverse old Mawashi. All right, so Nealo, look at him. He loves it, Nealo. He loves the fact that all of these people have had to humiliate themselves. That's what that man's about.
JB, I can remember the first year and the idea that they were going to build a water slide at the MCG into a swimming pool full of 300 bags of ice. You thought, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. This won't work. No one will be interested in watching this, Daisy. It's become a phenomenon, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And as any of us who know Neil, and many of us have known him for a long, long time, he's as mischievous a setup as there's ever been. So when that, he probably wouldn't have thought of it, but when it dawned on him that was what was going to happen, he would have gone beautiful. These people have got to embarrass themselves on national television, and that's perfect.
There you go. So waiting for Gil McLaughlin, him and Haim, just having a little chat. He's put the mustard jacket on, and we're going to get down to Rubbo, who's got our final slider, Gil McLaughlin.
We're going to try and get him. He's walking our way. Gil, seriously, 600 bags of ice in there, freezing, but you've upped the ante with the mustard jacket.
Mustard jacket. I'm trying to get rid of a couple of millstones at once. Daisy Pierce said it wasn't actually that cold. It was much colder than I thought it was.
It's 3 below.
Oh, it's cold. I don't know what she was thinking. She says, it's not that bad. I just said it was, and it's actually seriously cold.
But... And 10 years, you've vented meatloaf, got that off your skin?
Well, I hope so. I mean, hopefully people can let us move on after today, but time will tell.
What's worse, coming down the slide or coming off a polo pony?
That slide, I don't want to do that again. I'm happy. I've done my bit. Thanks. Thanks.
Damo, before we move on and start having a look at this big game, a little recap of the sliders, please.
Yeah, just the way Duck and Daisy voted, giving 10 votes each on a basis of costume, routine and execution. In third place on their votes was Shani Norder, who went down as the rapper. She came in with 50 out of a possible 60. In second place, Sarah Jones, Mary Poppins, came in with 53 votes. And winning the Triple M slider of MND7 was Jeff Farmer, the wizard, who dressed as a wizard. He got a total of 55 out of the possible 60. He was the winner of this year's MND slide dust.
Yeah, we love
our boys on Triple M.
A lot of fun. Bill Brownless really let the side down. I think that was the side note. Duck, we had high expectations of Bill delivery.
No, we didn't. Yeah. We had no expectations, and he came in under those expectations.
Well, he came in third last officially, Jim, on the boys' boats.
And the accidental entry into the water saved him from finishing dead last.
So Russell Howcroft, Jim, who you weren't all that impressed with, he came in officially last on Daisy and Duck's votes on 18.5. Croft was only half a vote ahead of him on 19. And Fat came in at third last on 25.
Well, that's a miracle because I had him stone cold last. And he needs to have a look at himself.
Fightmnd.org.au, Neil Danaher and the Danaher family. Remarkable contribution, of, we've said. So continue to donate right across the afternoon.
Triple M Rocks Footy.